Again, thank the men for singing for us tonight. Pray the Lord will bless you in your ministry and song. Isaiah chapter 9. We were looking at this verse this morning. We only got one point covered. I said there were five, so that means we have four left. It took me over half an hour to get one point. So by my reckoning, that's about 2 hours just to finish off the rest of this verse. But anyway, most of you are off tomorrow. So you can lie in. No, you're not. Poor Eric has to go to work. That's terrible. Oh, well. When you're going to work, think about the rest of us who are not going to work. And we'll think about you not. Isaiah chapter 9. But we'll do our best to get through the rest of this verse as quickly as possible. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's just seek God's face in word of prayer as we come to his word for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the messages and song that have been brought to us. We thank the Lord tonight for that marvelous, infinite grace of our loving God. We thank the Lord tonight for the one who is full of grace and truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our eternal God, as we come to thee tonight, Lord, as we come to thy word, as we would consider these majestic words here in this Old Testament prophecy, we ask, O God, that you'll come reveal thyself to us. We pray, Lord, especially tonight for those unconverted. Lord, would you be pleased to reveal yourself to them and save them, O God, we pray tonight. And every child of God, we pray that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ once again in all of his glory and beauty. Bless, we pray. We ask, O God, you'll give us help now as we seek to divide the scriptures of truth. Help to preach, help to hear. And may everything be to the honour and to the glory of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. We entitle our message this morning that we continue with tonight, There's a Name Above All Others. And our first point this morning was that it was a transcendent name. Thou shalt call his name, he shall be called Wonderful. We want to go on and look tonight at the rest of this verse. His name shall be called Wonderful, but we want as well now to look at the Counselor. We want to see how that is a truthful name. This verse, this word, this name speaks about the wisdom of Christ. It simply means to advise or to give counsel, to give instruction. And it could also mean to give direction. You know, as I thought about that, do we not live in a world tonight that needs divine direction? Do we not live tonight in a world where men and women have no idea where they're going or what they're doing because they have set aside the Word of God? They've set aside the direction and the instruction of God's Word. And as a result, they're doing everything that is right in their own eyes. And so there is divine direction here spoken of in this name, Counselor. It all speaks about truth, God's truth. We live in a society today where, as far as truth is concerned, it's in the gutter. Truth can be all things to all people and nothing to anybody when it suits. There is no absolute truth anymore, no absolute standard for truth, no absolute direction. Do this, do that, do what you feel to be best. Truth can be so easily set aside. But you see tonight, Christ is the embodiment of all truth and all direction. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, he is the incarnate word, the revealed word. God's word to sinful man, and God's word is truth. And therefore, every word that Christ uttered on this earth is full of truth. He is the Counselor. He is the one who gives direction, the one who speaks truth. Christ is the Counselor in salvation. He's the one who planned the way that sin could be redeemed. You see, his coming into this world came to fully reveal and to eternally reveal the plan of God in salvation. That truth which was revealed in shadow type in the Old Testament was gloriously and fully revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. The glorious covenant of grace which God entered into with man in Genesis 3:15, was administered through the various types and shadows all throughout the Old Testament. They all pointed to Christ. They themselves could not save, but they all pointed to Christ. But then Christ, coming into this world, ushered in a new and a final administration of that great covenant of grace, whereby God covenanted to redeem man, and Christ communicated that word in the clearest possible terms. What did he communicate to man? What was God's word, God's direction to mankind? They were these words: repent and believe the gospel. Christ said many great things throughout his earthly ministry, but the very first utterances as he ministered on this earth was that sinners to repent, and if they didn't repent, they would all likewise perish. You see, that's the truth. That's the counsel. That's the instruction that man needs to heed and to hear today. Otherwise, you ignore that direction. You ignore that instruction, you will perish. He came with the truth of the gospel. He came to make truth known in the gospel. He came to call sinners to repentance. You see, he came because there was no other way to God. He came because there was no other message from God. He came because there was no other Savior but through him. Maybe tonight you have fooled yourself into thinking that your way is truth. You don't need the direction from God. You don't need to listen to the counsel and the instruction of the Lord when he says, repent and believe the gospel. You believe that as far as you're concerned, your wisdom is enough. You are wise enough. You really don't need Christ. You don't need to be saved. Your wisdom, your counsel has advised you that you're all right the way you are. But listen to the counsel of the Lord when he says, repent. Turn from your evil way. Turn away from your sin and believe the gospel. There is a way that seemeth right. A way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof for the ways of death. Are you tonight walking in the counsel of your own wisdom as far as salvation is concerned? Are you ignoring the counsel of the Lord when he says to repent and to believe the gospel? Are you walking in a way that seems right, that appears right to you? I say in grace and love to your soul tonight, stop listening to the counsel of yourself or even the counsel of others. Maybe they tell you, don't worry about salvation. Don't worry about being saved. That's their counsel to you. That's their advice to you. You can ignore salvation. You don't really need Christ. God's not going to turn you away. But Christ came to communicate his counsel to this world, that which was a word of grace and mercy. Don't reject his counsel as far as salvation is concerned. Our first parents rejected the counsel, the wisdom of God. Oh, they believed the lie of the devil rather than the truth of the Lord, and what consequences flowed from that. You see, you reject the counsel of God in salvation, there will be consequences. You fail to heed the warning of God and salvation to turn and believe the gospel. There will be consequences. Because if you're deceived by the lie of Satan in this life, you will be damned by the justice of God in the life that is yet to come. What were the words of Peter when he said, speaking of the Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ is the counsel to you tonight in salvation. And it is my responsibility, and I assure you, it's an awesome responsibility. And every time I walk into this pulpit, I feel it. To bring before you tonight the Word of God. Paul, just before he left the church at Ephesus, opened his heart to them. He said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. In places that didn't gain him much favor. But he said, I haven't shied away from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God. What is the whole counsel of God? Well, I believe it's summed up in that same chapter in Acts chapter 20. Because he says in Acts chapter 20 in the verse 21 about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole counsel of God. Repent and believe. Have you heeded that counsel tonight in salvation? Or are you going your own way? And if you are saved tonight, are you continuing to heed the counsel and the instruction of God? You see, it's not just enough to be saved and then to do your own thing, to do what you feel to be right. Oh, how many people have made shipwreck of their lives? How many Christians have made shipwreck of their lives because they have failed to heed the counsel of God throughout their lives? They've done their own thing. The wise man says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Heed the counsel of God tonight. Make Christ your counselor and your guide throughout life. Heed what he says to you tonight in salvation. Repent and believe. It is a truthful name. But then we come to another name here in Isaiah 9 and 6, the mighty God. Now we see that it is a Trinitarian name. Here we come to the central name, the third name of these five. The name of grace, and it all centers on this, the mighty God. You see, that's right and proper and true to any full understanding of who Christ is. It's a fundamental plank of the entire gospel. And I know we've spent some time laboring this point over recent weeks. But here the Lord is reminding us again that he is indeed the mighty God. Oh, how false religion tonight. They would seek to portray Christ as a helpless babe in a manger. False religion tonight would seek to portray Christ as a helpless man dying. But the scriptures portray him tonight as the mighty God. The one with whom all power is. The one who is omnipotent. The one who is all powerful. The one who is almighty. You see, it's not just enough to think of Christ as a good man, a man with the right intentions, a man with the right aspirations, a man who wanted to do good to all. We do need to think of him tonight as the God-man. Mr. Spurgeon, the great preacher, said, if Christ were not the Son of God, his death, so far from being a satisfaction for sin, was a death most richly and righteously deserved. Why was Christ put to death? At the end of it all, why was he put to death? Because he said he was the Son of God. He asserted his deity, and the religious leaders couldn't stomach that. They didn't believe that, and so they were putting him to death. And Mr. Spurgeon says, therefore, if he were not the Son of God, then his death was deserved. But he is the Son of God. He is the all-powerful one. He is the almighty one. And that power, that great power of God, is seen most of all in salvation. That moment, that instant in the life of the sinner, and they turn from sin, and they leave their sin, they come to Jesus Christ in salvation. That's where we see the mighty God. The one who creates new life. The one who brings light. The one who brings liberty. That's the greatest power of God in salvation. Dr. Harry Ironside summed up this thought in a most remarkable statement when he said, he had to be who he was in order to do what he did. Christ had to be the mighty God in order to go to a cross and to die for us and to shed his blood for us that we might be saved from sin. He had to be who he was, as Mr. Ironside said, in order to do what he did. Christ is mighty to save tonight. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, or entirely and completely, totally, come unto God through him. You come to Jesus Christ tonight, he is mighty and able to save you, because he is the mighty God. It is a transcendent name, it is a truthful name, a Trinitarian name, but I want you to see as well that it is a timeless name, the everlasting Father. He's the timeless one. He is the one from generation to generation. He is the one who was, who is, who always will be. He is the immutable, unchangeable, timeless Lord. But you say, how can he be the Father if he is the Son? Is there a contradiction here in what Isaiah is saying? No, there's not. Because here in this name as the everlasting Father, he is not referring now to the Trinity. If he were, that would be heresy. But what is meant here in that phrase, the everlasting Father, is that he is the Father of eternity. The Father is used to show his relationship to eternity. So rather than being a creature of time, and we looked at this on Thursday night, that he wasn't created, he was begotten. Rather than being a creature of time, eternity marked the very being of Christ. As Christ, the Word, the eternal Word, he stood at the beginning of time and commenced time because he was from before time. He is the author, the originator of time. He is the Father of time. You will know how that Christ called Satan the father of lies, in that he is the originator of all lies. He is the author of all lies. Well, Isaiah is saying here, when he uses that name, the everlasting Father, that Christ is the author of time, the originator of time, because he is without time. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He commenced time because he stood at the beginning of time and spoke this world into its existence. He's also in control of time. Our times are in his hand. That's a blessed thought. That's a precious thought. our times are in God's hand. I was making reference to that man in our Bangor church this morning who received such awful news this week. And as we sat and talked in that hospital ward, he just turned to me and said, "Garth, my times are in God's hands. And I wish them there." That's not blind fatalism. Not this notion, oh, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. No, it's faith in the one who controls time. He commenced time, he controls time, but he will also conclude time. We read in Revelation chapter 10, the verse 6, of the angel lifting his right hand to heaven and speaking by the one who lives forever, who of course is Christ, who created heaven and all therein, earth and the sea and all therein, and then says that time shall be no longer. The Father of time, the everlasting Father, the author of time, will one day bring time to a close. You see, your time on this earth is limited. Your time on this earth is coming to an end. And listen tonight, one day the everlasting Father will bring the curtain down on your life and time for you will be over and eternity for you will begin. The question then is where? Where will you be in eternity? When the one who commenced time, the one who controls time, brings an end of time for you, where will you be? Where will you be? The clock of life is wound but once. No man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. The present only is our own. So live, love, toil with will. Place no faith in tomorrow. Place no faith in tomorrow. For the clock may then be still. And before this night goes out into eternity, your time on this earth may have been concluded. Already today, time has concluded for many, many people. Already today, from before we got up in the morning, people have been ushered into God's eternity. What if it were you? What if it were you? Where will you be in eternity? When the everlasting Father brings your time to an end. It is a transcendent time. It is a truthful time. A Trinitarian name and a timeless name. But we conclude now with that wonderful name at the end of verse 6. Here is a triumphant name, the Prince of Peace. You see, here we come to the triumph of Christ and to the triumph of Calvary. This was the triumphant announcement of the angels at the birth of Christ. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, Christ came as the Prince of Peace to bring peace, not between man and man. And that's where Christianity goes so far wrong. Christ didn't come to bring peace between man and man. Christ came to bring peace between God and man. How did he do that? He made peace through the blood of the cross. You see what Isaiah is doing here? He brings us to Bethlehem, and then he takes us to Calvary. Oh, many people are happy with the Bethlehem story. Many people love the story of Christ being born. But that's only part of the story. Because Christ was born to die. Christ was born to go to an old wicked cross and there to give his life and there to make peace for us. Oh, you need this peace tonight. And this peace is possible. This peace has been purchased and you can experience it tonight by coming to the Prince of Peace. Notice the term, the Prince of Peace. It brings us to the kingship of Christ. My time is gone. But it brings us to the kingship of Christ. Where does peace reign? Peace reigns in the place where Christ reigns. And when you give him his rightful place in your heart, then you will know peace. Peace with God. You can't rebel against the Lord and know peace. You can't reject the counsel of Almighty God and know peace. Oh, the devil may well stupefy you into believing that you have peace. And as you sit here a few days before Christmas, all's well with your soul. As far as you think. But if you do not have Christ in your heart, if you are not saved, then all is not well. In fact, all is far from well. You reject the triumph of Christ. You reject his peace. You reject the pardon from sin that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you will have no peace in eternity. Sinner, tonight, you know, I'm sure, the account of the rich man in Luke 16. A man who had no peace in a lost eternity. A man who had only trouble and pain and anguish. And you compare that to the accounts of the redeemed in heaven. As they sing praises to the Lamb in that land that is fairer than day. In that place where there are no more tears and no more pain and no more suffering. And the old things are passed away. In that place where Christ is, those who are with him know peace. But in that place called hell, there is no peace. Torment, trouble, pain. Therefore, tonight, are you going to enjoy the peace of heaven? Or are you going to enjoy the pain of hell? Come tonight through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and know this peace. His name is wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What a name. What a name. Thank God tonight for that name that is above every other name. He is, his name is transcendent, wonderful. His name is truthful. His name is a Trinitarian name. His name is a timeless name. But his name is a triumphant name. Will you bow tonight before that name? Because be assured, one day every knee will bow. We're going to consider that in our next few studies in Philippians chapter 2. One day the monarch on their throne and the president and the prime ministers and all the rest of them and every other person will bow before the name of Christ. for some it'll be too late. Therefore tonight, why will you not bow your knee before him tonight and surrender your life to him? Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Will you come to him tonight in salvation? That one who is wonderful. That one who is counselor. That one who is the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Will you come to him tonight? Will you give your heart and life to him and receive the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Come tonight and receive him. The men were singing about the marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace is extended to you tonight if you will come. What will it be? Heaven or hell? Glory or despair? Come to Christ tonight and experience the peace that he alone can give. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close our meeting tonight, and as we have thought upon that name that is above every other name, I wonder tonight, will you bow before that name? Confess your sin before him, acknowledge that you're not right with him, and that tonight you come and be saved. Because tonight, the one who commenced time and the one who controls time may well conclude time for you. You might never see Christmas Day. You might never see the dawn of another new day. Therefore, be in time. Be in time tonight. Come to Jesus Christ. Eternal God and our Father, we pray, O Lord, that you be pleased to write thy word upon hearts. And Lord, tonight, that sinners might be in time. Lord, ere they cross that fateful deadline, ere they leave time behind and enter God's eternity, an eternity without Christ, a lost eternity for all eternity. Lord, we pray that tonight you would do thy work. Save the lost. We thank the Lord for thy presence with us. But, O God, we cry unto thee tonight that we might see thy power made bare in the salvation of the lost. Do that which we cannot do. We cannot create one anxious thought. But, O God, we pray that tonight you'll so work in the hearts and lives, the unconverted, bring them to Christ. Glorify thy name. In that name of our Saviour that we pray. Amen. Let's close with the words of hymn number 95, please. Hymn number 95.